are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all
I do. Bowed eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this blessed opportunity once again to study your word. We pray that the Holy Ghost will enter into the text and to every hearer's heart and unfold the truth, disclose the meaning so that each one of us, wherever we may be spiritually, may see ourselves and then be lifted to the place you'd have us to be. For your glory and our good, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Well, would you give the Lord a hand of praise for this study in the Word tonight? God bless you. You may be seated. Amen, amen. I want to talk tonight about the blessing of being thankful. The blessing of being thankful. Now, I think there are so many things that we could say just about the topic alone, but I think as we enter into the text and the study of the Word, we'll see what the Lord Himself expects of us in terms of a spirit of thanksgiving. And it's so important to recognize the Word's understanding rather than leaning to our own understanding, because we can miss God and what He has for us by so much if we don't understand the principles of His Word the way that He Himself would desire us to. So one of the things that I want to do, first of all, is look at this word of thanksgiving or giving thanks. And it is defined, thanksgiving, an act of rendering thanks, service held as expression of thanks for divine goodness. Now, I think regardless of what's going on in your life, where you may be, whether you're on top of the world or feel like the world is on top of you, do you not realize that there are so many things still that we have opportunity to give God thanks for? The fact that you're in pain suggests that you're not dead. And so sometimes you're like, Lord, this pain, this, that, and the other. Well, you know what? If you were dead, you wouldn't be feeling that pain. And the fact that you might be down on the bottom and the world is on top of you suggests that you are not conquered. You are still in the fight. You are still doing and striving to be on top and be where God wants you to be. So you've not surrendered and submitted to the enemy's desire or his plan to destroy you or what God has for you. So just having and developing a spirit of thanksgiving, even in the midst of stuff when it's wrong, when it's not right, when it's dark, when you're in the midst of the valley, if you can begin to recognize that there are so many things that you as an individual owe God as it relates to thanksgiving, and begin to seek Him in a spiritual way underneath the skin and not just limit it to physical blessings or natural blessings. Because how many of you know there are so many blessings beyond what you can see, what you can touch, what you can feel that God blesses you with every day? Every day. The old folk, you say, he brought me through seen and unseen dangers. But not just the unseen dangers, but He blessed you with blessings that are seen and unseen. He's done so many things that He's worthy of us thanking Him and having a spirit of thanksgiving. I want us to look, if you will, at Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through verses 19. Very familiar story, but one I pray we'll get new understanding from as the Spirit of the Lord begins to show us how we must have a spirit of thanksgiving. Remind yourself that Jesus is going to be dealing with this issue of ingratitude. And so if Jesus is concerned about it, how much more should we be concerned? The Bible says in verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Verse 19 says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I want us to look at, as we focus on these thoughts, first of all, we go back to verse 12, Jesus counts up that there were 10 lepers. Lepers all with the same complaint. They had leprosy, but not the same condition in the heart. Their physical situation said that they were in the same predicament, had the same problem, in the same position. But all of that had more to do with the externalities or with the sicknesses in the flesh, but it did not reveal what their heart's situation or condition really was. So looking at this and understanding this, you begin to see that just because people are in the same place physically does not mean that they're in the same place spiritually. And just because people deal with some of the same issues don't mean that they deal with them the same way. So he looks at all of these men in verse 12 and see that they've got the same complaint but not the same condition. Second, you're going to see in verse 13 that they had a community consensus. For the word says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, they, all together on one accord for the same conclusion. They lifted up their voices, and what was the end of their cry? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It was a community census. They had come together, because I would say this to you, if we all have the same issues and the same struggles and we're looking for the same answers, we have a common bond. We have a commonality. We become, and as they were in communion together, because they were also connected together by the same sickness. And so as a result of this, they dealt with this collectively together, because all 10 of them together wanted Jesus to do what? To have mercy on them and to heal them. All 10 of them, the same, wanted the same situation to be an end result for each one of them. So with this community consensus, the Bible says they, again, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices, not excluding any one of them, but counting together all of them. So not only do we have the community consensus, but we saw that the cleansing continued as they went, or it continued as they continued. The healing process, in other words, continued step by step by step as they made their way to show themselves as ordered by Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ fulfilling the Leviticus law, making it clear that they must do this in order to be re-entered into society. So verse 14 says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. When Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, all 10 of them got up and started making their way toward the priest or the temple. Why? Because all of them had faith when they called out to Jesus, because they had no doubt heard of Jesus' magnanimous, miraculous power. The word of Jesus' ministry had traveled all through these areas and these cities and these countries, and they knew that Jesus was a mighty healing man. They may not have known much about his deity. They may not have known that he was the true Son of God, but they did know that there were people who had been sick, who had been healed, people who had been filled with demonic activity that had been delivered, people who were hungry, who had been fed. And he saw they saw an opportunity to call on Jesus, because Jesus purposed to pass that way. My brothers and sisters, you need to know, when you can't get to the Lord always knows how to get to you. Sometimes we miss God looking for him in other places, when all we have to do is desire to see him, desire to commune with him, desire to fellowship with him, and he will make it his business to pass our way. Listen at this, because I want you to see something else as we continue these focused thoughts. One of the things that you must recognize is that he starts off in the Word of God, verse 12, counting 10 men. Now, as we move on to verse 15, the Bible says, and one of them, one now, not 10. Now listen at this, the numbers now are different. But they're different after something has happened for all of them. Now, this is where I want to call your sensitivity into consciousness now. Because a whole lot of us miss, we can call on the Lord as long as we're going through. As long as we're going through trouble and trials and tribulations, as long as the enemy is beating up on us, we can call on the name of the Lord. We know how to call him up and all this good stuff. But you need to know that the Lord wants to be called upon, not just to ask for stuff, but to give praise and glory that's righteously due his name. You might think the Lord don't, he knows our heart. He knows how grateful we are. He knows how thankful we are. Yes, he does. But again, Matthew 6 tells us he still wants us to open up our mouths and speak. Why is that so important? Because when we speak, we release words which shape worlds, which brings realities from within, without. And so it is not just for him to hear, but do you not know the enemy is listening to what you confess also? See, that's why you got to be careful what you say. That's why you got to be careful when you're down and out, not to let anything come out your mouth, because not only is the Lord listening, but the devil is listening also. And when those words leave your mouth, let me ask you a question. Can you see the words that leave your mouth? No. But the force behind the words that leave your mouth are miraculous. And what you don't realize is those words in the spiritual realm begin to put together, begin to piece together, begin to shape together, begin to get behind the spirit either of Christ or the spirit of the Antichrist gets behind those words and put what they call force, or which is power to create. And so what people don't recognize is when you let the devil make you speak stuff you ought not be speaking, you are giving him permission to do to you what you've given him authority to do. Or you're giving him permission and authority to set up a roadblock against the things that God has for you, or to set up interference between the blessings that God may have released to you and you're receiving those things. And so a whole lot of us must understand and be careful how we release the words, regardless of whether they are words when we're upset, words when we're depressed, words when we're hurt, or words, number one, that we feel. If they don't line up with the Word of God, something happens. One of the things I want you to look at and write down is the fact that faith produces facts. Faith produces facts. You see, when you've got faith, brothers and sisters, you begin to act upon faith. Faith is an action word. It gives itself the ability to bring to pass the things that you know and believe in your spirit. Faith actually put feet to what it is you believe. So when you begin to recognize all 10 of them had enough faith that when they walked in the word that Jesus spoke, and Jesus' word was what in the text? Go do what? Go show yourself to the priest. All 10 of them got up right then and there. Listen at the text. Not one of them asked him why. Well, they knew the law, especially 9 of them, because they were Jews and they understood the ceremonial law of cleansing. And as lepers, they knew that they could not be in the midst of a crowd of people, had to stay 300 feet beyond any person and cry out, unclean, unclean, so that they would know that they who had leprosy, because it was contagious, could not be around people, or if people chose to be around them after they had cried out leprosy, then they were covered or protected then. The law provided for those who were not leprous to not be in close contact or proximity to people who had it, so they knew they had to cry. So when Jesus was passing by, the first time they cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me or us, was because they weren't close to him. They were trying to get his attention. So 10 of them were crying out, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. They were crying out because they couldn't get close to him. Now Jesus comes close to them. And so as he comes close to them, he tells them simply, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't say, you are cleansed. He didn't say, you are healed. But it was inferred, because they had so much faith that if Jesus said it, anything. Now they knew that go show yourself to the priest meant that they were healed, meant that they were cleansed, because otherwise it wouldn't be no need for them to go to the priest, who would then simply pronounce them still filled with leprosy and unable to be re-entered back into population or society. So by faith, they believed that by the time they left Jesus the way they were, looking like they were, hands all white and so in ash with leprosy and ashy, they knew that by the time they got to the priest, their skin was going to be back to its original texture, its natural glow, and they would be healed. So they started walking. And every step was a step of faith. And every step became more and more clear as they became more and more confident that their healing was actually in their faith. And so their faith produced the facts. You know, the old preacher would say, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. And because they didn't have on shoes, they had leprosy. Toes were missing and foot was all crooked and so forth. And they said they looked at their feet. And they did too. And they felt it every step. And so as the feet became straightened and normal, they were able to pick up the pace. And as they picked up the pace and walked further and faster, the healing came clearer and clearer, became more of a reality. And so listen at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 14 again, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thou yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they all 10 of them went, what happened? They were all 10 of them cleansed. So faith produces facts. Now, I want you to see something else here, because verse 15 says, and one of them, how many? Just one. When he saw that he was what? Healed. If you look in your Bibles, you're going to find the answers. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He returned to the point of origin where his blessing came from, which was Jesus Christ. Now listen at this, because I want you to see something, brothers and sisters. All 10 of them are on their way to show themselves to the priest. And as they are walking, they're recognizing that the healing is manifesting itself because Jesus had given them the word to go show themselves to the priest so that they might be reentered into society again. And so as they are walking down the path from where they were to the temple, One man of the 10 recognizes, wait a minute, I'm healed. I'm healed. Now look at what he does now. He stops at the point of recognizing, once he had gotten what he was asking Jesus for, he did not go continuously on to the priest, because his point of return or origin of blessing was that he was so grateful and so thankful to Jesus for what he and only he could do, that his joy and his ability to be grateful caused him to return back to the point of origin, to Jesus, to go and tell him thank you. Because notice the Bible says he told them, go show themselves to the priest. Do you see anywhere in the text when they started walking that any one of them said thank you? Let's go back and read the text and see. Bible says again, verse 13, and they, all 10 of them, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when he saw them, Jesus, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now that means here, he heals all 10 of them. They're all on their way to see the priest. One man recognizes, listen, I've been healed. And the common sense thing to say is thank you. Now listen at this, because when you're really grateful and when you're really thankful, it says this, you make time, you take out time to be grateful and to be thankful. This man was on the way, because listen at this, if he's healed, would it make that much of a difference if he went 30 minutes later, an hour later, a day later to go show himself to the priest? Or did it make more sense to go back and say, wait, I just got to go tell Jesus, thank you. See, Jesus became more important to him than just the blessing that Jesus gave. The fact that this man recognized nobody but Jesus could have done for him what Jesus did for him caused him to realize, wait a minute, I can't get so in a hurry that I'm so ready to go back into society and go back to living my life the way I used to live and going to the things that I used to have and living the life I used to have without first saying thank you to the one who made it all possible. So he goes back, the only one. What's going to blow your mind is who he was over and against the other nine. And it's also going to give you a helpful holy hint as to how some people, even in our own everyday lives, respond to us over against the way some other folk respond to us. And you'll see all of this in the text. But I want to share something else with you and show you. So he re-enters back or returns back to the point of origin. But look at what he does. The word says he's on his way back and he's shouting. He's screaming. From the distance when he recognized he was healed, the praise party started right then. Look again at what the Bible says, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and as soon as he's starting to turn, with a loud voice, glorified God. Now he's going to thank Jesus, but he's glorifying God. He didn't have to wait to get back to Jesus to glorify. He recognized the Lord gave Jesus the power and Jesus gave him the healing. So he knew God deserved the glory and Jesus deserved the thanksgiving. And so he started with God by glorifying God right where he was. When did he start it? When did he start it? When he realized he was healed. When he realized he was healed, when he realized he was blessed, when he realized he was cleansed. See, what I'm trying to say to somebody is, when you realize, when it hits you that the Lord has done some wonderful thing, you ain't got to wait till you come to church. You ain't got to wait till you get with somebody else. You ain't got to wait till you get somebody on the phone or text somebody. You need to begin your glorifying of God when it comes to the reality that you consciously are aware of it yourself. Can I tell you, when it comes to giving praise, you don't need nobody's help? It was 10 of them that went, but it was only one of them that came back, and he started his praise party right where he was. A lot of things I want to share in here. I want you to write these down, get these nuggets, because I know you've gone through this text and you've seen it before, but I want you to see again some new things in here. The Bible says in verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And I want to pause right there, because one of the things that I want you to see is humility and earnestness was a part of this man's makeup. He humbled himself. He took the highest part of him and his existence in the natural realm, his face, and he bowed his face down to the lowest part of Jesus' human extremity, and that was his feet. And he began to give thanks at his feet. Humility was important because he was humble enough to recognize that the Lord didn't have to do it, but he did. And he didn't deserve it, but God, in spite of him, blessed him anyhow. And he didn't let pride come up and choke his praise or his thanksgiving. You see, sometimes the Lord blesses us and we've been mad and bitter for so long that we don't know how to be grateful and don't know how to be thankful, because the Lord should have done this yesterday. I mean, you know, Mary and Martha, Lord, if you had been here with attitude, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, you're looking at what you're looking for. I am the resurrection. And what does it matter if I come 4 days late, 4 hours late, 4 months late, 4 years late? When I get there, I can still do what I would have done if I had been there. And see, when you realize that, when you realize he's got the power, why does he, and I share this with folk, why does he have to get in a hurry when he has the power to change, to conquer and to control? He has the power to restore everything the cankerworm has eaten up, so let the cankerworm eat on. He has the power to renew your strength like an eagle's and give you the youthful strength that you had when you were in your prime. So why does he have to get in a hurry when he can turn what the devil meant for evil into good for you? Why does he have to get in a hurry when he can reverse the process of every problem you have and you'll never felt like you never had it when he's through with you? Why does he have to get in a hurry when he does show up? It'll be just like he wants it to be. And so when you realize that, this man recognized that Jesus did this, and because Jesus did this, only he could do this, this man said, wait a minute, I'm not going to take no extra time. I'm going to go back and tell him. Now, he was earnest, listen to this, because all he had to do was return and say, Jesus, I just want to say thank you. And that would have been sufficient. But it wasn't just humility, it was earnestness. He was so sincere till he bowed down with his face at Jesus' feet and just began to thank him right there. Jesus knew this man was sincere. I want to share this with you because listen to this. His humility and earnestness made him unashamed in spite of being unaccompanied. It was 10 of them that left, only one of them returned. 1 of 10 is a tithe. I'm going to say that again. And so only a tithe of them came back and said, thank you. Only one of them. They all left together, but only one returned to say thank you. So he was unaccompanied in addition to being unacceptable by society. Sometimes I want to make it this clear. You have to be grateful and thankful all by yourself. Sometime you might be going through something with somebody else and God brings both of you all out